Welcome to another Expert Insights discussion. Today we're joined by Stephanie Smith, founder and digital matriarch at Cogwheel Marketing, and Connor van der Holm, CEO and co-founder of Topline Revenue. In our conversations, Stephanie and Connor look at a number of areas where revenue management and marketing can work together in a blissfully happy marriage of knowledge and expertise. They look specifically at target segments and understanding competition per segment, packages, OTA strategy, package parity, understanding demand that exists in the market, and where can revenue and marketing swap roles. Really hope you enjoy the discussion. Let's get started. Great to see you again. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to just outline what the topic is, but then Stephanie, I'm going to kind of hand over to you to kind of tee it up, the thought process as to where this came from. But we're going to be talking about the marriage of revenue management and marketing. And we've come up with like four areas that for the purpose of this video, we're going to focus in on. But Stephanie, where did this idea come about? I mean, we've spoken about obviously breaking down silos and bits like this, but this is taking it to a whole new level if we're now getting these guys married. What's going on here?
I mean, I think there's been a lot of talk about the silos and total commercial strategy, but I think in practice and day-to-day, they're still in the dating phase and they're not quite to that marriage phase yet. So, you know, if you're looking for tactical ways to be like, how can I insert myself either as a marketing person into revenue management or vice versa? If I'm a revenue manager and I want to involve my marketing team more, we've got to break it down and say, how do we continue to bridge those gaps? How do we communicate in a way that allows us to align our goals and align our KPIs? So I think for certain people that are in different stages of this kind of collaborative process that, and you want to do it, you just don't know where to start. I think this is a good discussion to listen in on.
Perfect. Makes good sense. So we, as I say, we've selected, or you guys have selected four areas that we're going to try and bring to life. So let's start off. So the first one that we had was target segments, understanding competition per segment. So do you want to take us off with this one then, Stephanie, or just jump in?
Well, I think revenue management kind of talks in different terms than marketing sometimes. And I think revenue management loves to look at segments, understand segments per the comp set and, you know, where we're falling short. And I think marketing has a place to be able to join that conversation. Connor, what do you think? I mean, when you guys are having your regular revenue calls and talking about different segments, how does your conversation go?
Yeah, so the conversation with revenue management is always about your mix of sales, right? So it's understanding what business you're getting from what channels and which is the most profitable, and do we need to open channels to get heads in beds, or are we going to close out channels to help ADR, right? And so while revenue management is highly focused on that, I think the connection between marketing and revenue management is so important when talking about this topic, because once we've identified a segment that we need to go after, be it business transient, be it leisure, whatever it may be, it's then about, okay, well, what steps are we going to take to capture it or to yield it out? And that's when oftentimes, if we do have a marketing team or potentially the revenue manager is the marketing team themselves, that's when those strategies as far as getting advertising in place, how's our brand position, our digital position rather, what do we look like online when these leisures are shopping us? That's where all that kind of comes together. And that's why revenue management and marketing, as Stephanie and I talk about all the time, are so joined at the hip all the time, is because it's really about the entire strategy. Not only what are you doing internally to make those discounts or yields available or close them out, but how is it being presented? And how is it being received by the client?
Because I think revenue management is going to have a rate play. So they're going to, you know, but I think as we go into 2022, a lot of people are going to look at it like, how do I push ADR? So a lot of times in the marketing world, we're looking to say, how can we get exposure to a market that we know the comp set's getting? So if we take some specific segment examples, like, like weddings, for example, I think 2022 and 23 will be the year of the wedding. So if we know, you know, weekends are soft and we want more wedding blocks, or more wedding groups. That's where marketing can really, you know, pull some specific levers to get in front of those specific markets. Another example one we actually struggle with is government. Sometimes we can get creative with specific packages to really, depending on what your per diem is versus what your rates are, we can kind of get creative there. But really, marketing doesn't usually know what specific segments the comp set's getting or what's out there to really capture and what you're trying to go after.
That makes sense. And any examples from your side, kind of marrying up from what Stephanie was talking about, sort of areas where you see that?
Yeah. Oftentimes the workflow for a revenue manager in relation to marketing will go like this. So we'll dig into the mix of sales. We'll identify a couple segments that are underperforming or that we think that we can squeeze a little bit more out because we have an idea that the comp set is getting it. We then highlight those and we'll discuss them with the marketing team. Maybe they're on a revenue call. Maybe we shoot them an email and say, hey, listen, in the government segment, we think that there's plenty of demand in the market for it. We believe the comp set's getting most of it. And what we want to do is offer a discount off of per diem and highlight that in one form or fashion. Or maybe we want to target allowing government on weekends for leisure government, like just that a government employee can get a discount. How can we put the package together? How can we display that in an attractive form? And then we kick that over to marketing, who then is able to really do a lot of the button pushing to make it happen and to get our appearance perfect online. Same thing with the wedding example. A lot of these hotels are in destination markets for a lot of weddings. They've got wedding venues all around them, and that's a core piece of their business. How are we presenting ourselves? So it's just having that conversation with marketing and saying, what are your thoughts? You're the professional in this space. How can we better present it? Maybe our photos need to be updated. Maybe we need to add additional ones. Maybe we need to add banners or, whatever's best, whatever the marketing department would recommend.
No, that makes sense. I mean, you use the word package, and that's just one of the second areas we're going to lean into, Stephanie. But before we kind of jump across and use that as a segue, is there anything else to add into just picking up what Connor said there?
No, I think any good marketing person is going to look at their toolbox and understand, you know, if the revenue manager comes and says, hey, we're trying to go after this segment, you know, what tools in your toolbox do you have to go after this or fill these specific holes? I think it's sometimes we have a tool in the toolbox and sometimes we don't. Sometimes it's more blanketed strategy, but we really have to really understand that so that we're not throwing at the money at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So how do they come together then when we're looking specifically at the second topic around packages? It's for me, it seems obvious, but you guys always put a different kind of slant on things or the detailed angle on it. So who wants to take that and kick off that topic?
Yeah, I'll take that one. So when it comes to packages, depending on what brand or what systems you're working with, in most cases, the revenue manager is going to do the actual system setup of that. We're going to define the attributes. We'll define what the rate is, what the additional cost is, whatever that may be, and then the details. Marketing's job is then to display that and get it in front of as many people as possible. And so we really need both sides of the equation, because I've seen a lot revenue managers that don't have the marketing experience. They'll set it all up perfectly in the system, mm-hmm. but nobody sees it. You know, it's way down the sort order. It's not visible on the website at all. And so we've done all this work and we're like, okay, we've got this package together. Let's see what happens. And if nobody sees it, nobody books it. So that's where the marketing comes in. I can tell you from recent experience with some independent hotels, navigating the differences between systems and websites is not something that we excel at as revenue managers. And it can be very, very challenging for a revenue manager to get it right. And so we definitely rely on our marketing counterparts to help us with that.
So if the challenge is, if revenue is setting it up but no one's seeing it, how does that work the other way around then, Stephanie? Where are the problems coming out of revenue where it could be better if it's working closer together?
Well, Connor nailed it. Like how many times we start working in the hotel and like, oh, we had that package last year and nobody ever booked it. And I'm like, well, what did you do to market it? Who saw it? And I usually take a little bit of a different approach too as it comes to packages. So a lot of times when we're looking at search engine optimization, we're looking at you know, what are people actually in the market for? So, you know, seasonally, people are looking for romance packages. Sometimes people are looking for pet friendly packages or hotels near XYZ demand generator. So we really try to leverage what people are looking for and sometimes have what we call vanity packages. So even if it's not necessarily highly booked package, we want to use it to display, you know, that our proximity specific demand generators, but also you know, specific amenities or target markets that we're going after. So, and then we're looking to take those packages. Once the revenue manager builds them on the site, how can we leverage those to get in front of more people? So are we leveraging those packages on our CVB, on our state tourism sites, on the demand generators that are, you know, right next door to us? So it's, again, leveraging those to get in front of more eyes. We often see a halo effect. So if it comes down just to a rate play, you know, if they have a package that's, you know, with a, you know, like if they're in wine country and they've done a wine package, they may not end up booking that because it may end up makes more sense to book an advance purchase rate and then, you know, book that package separately. But again, we have to get into that consideration set in terms of top of the funnel awareness. And if we're not leveraging those packages to create awareness for a hotel, then we're never going to push them farther down that funnel and into that booking process.
I can't tell you how many times I've gotten a random email from a general manager that says, "Hey, do we have a champagne and strawberries package? Because somebody just booked it and we don't have any champagne or strawberries here." So somebody needs to be paying attention to that. Revenue manager and marketing both should be paying attention to it. But it just gets left in the system. Nobody books it. And then some random person sorting down the entire, they're going through the entire page, the website, and they find that thing and that's what they want. So they book it and then we're out of sorts.
It was funny you say that because I was going to ask a question. It's an area I don't know well enough at all, but we've done a number of videos around different systems, and whenever we've spoken about those systems, you've spoken about revenue putting the packages on the system, and then obviously marketing are then taking that and raising the awareness. So are there problems inherent, and we'll just touch on this for a little bit, we won't go over it too long because we've kind of done it before, but you know, that's a classic example, setting up a package that people aren't aware of or not putting it right in technology. Can that be done and that creates the problems? What can you tell us on that side?
Yeah, oftentimes, unless there's a reason to go looking for it, they're not readily displayed. All of your rates and all the packages are not readily displayed. Or if they are, they have weird name attributions or codes associated with it. So you don't think, okay, I see this that has a four-letter acronym, but I don't think that's a champagne package. So I'm not even paying attention as I'm sorting through the other 100 rate codes I have.
Right.
It's usually something that's done on an annual basis, frankly. And if it gets missed on the December year-end checklist, it's missed for the next year until it's a problem.
So you kind of have your Valentine's package, your Mother's Day package, whatever, and they're kind of set up and they roll. Right.
Exactly right. So if they didn't set it up for a specific time frame where it has an end and a beginning and an end, then it just rolls through and just stays there.
Right.
Yeah, for our a lot of our hotels, especially the full service ones that have, you know, some type of F&B component and or spa component, anything like that, we really try to work with our revenue teams to put together activation calendars. So really trying to understand what the booking window is for a particular package like that. You know, if we're doing something around the holidays, Mother's Day, Valentine's. So really trying to understand. Last year I felt like we were behind the eight ball with everything in terms of, okay, if we don't start marketing our holiday package until December 1st, we're, you know, then we've missed the planning boat. So trying to understand with each market what the booking window is and what, you know, what that process looks like so that we, you know, can get it in all the right places, the CVB, social media, email marketing, all of the above.
No, that makes sense. So if we take where we were, so we had our revenue is setting the packages, marketing is going out. And so we've had our segments, we've had our packages, revenue is setting up, marketing are going out and making them aware. Well, one of the areas where we can be raising awareness is obviously through OTAs. So if we're looking at OTA strategy as being a third area to talk about, so how does revenue and marketing get married around OTA strategy?
I would say that, I'm sorry, do you want to go Stephanie?
Ahead.
Okay, so I would say that with OTAs, that one of the other challenges is that there's so many different places where we're listed, where we're displayed. And revenue managers are focused in the systems and what's on brand.com and then having parity with OTAs. Mm-hmm. So there's no parity issues. But there's so many OTAs and there's so many ways that we're displayed on those OTAs. And maybe we have travel ads or any other kind of advertising. And maybe we have a Google ad listing. We just aren't thinking about that as revenue managers. We know that when we're starting to get really busy, we need to yield a lot of that stuff out because it's less desirable being commissioned. But that's where it's really helpful to be able to either target dates where we know we're going to have high compression or, you know, set seasons, and communicate that with marketing so we can adjust our strategy accordingly. It's really an ongoing process. It's not a one time a year thing. It's like every revenue call, we need to be identifying high or low demand dates and then targeting them one way or another. And that includes OTAs.
So if the revenue side aren't looking at all of that, based on what you've just said, how does that fit in with what are marketing doing? Are they doing that piece of it? Are they policing it or are they not doing it either?
I think we look at it from a little bit of different lens. Even if you are yielding out that business, I really look at it as consistent storytelling across all channels. So if somebody, you know, is super Expedia loyal, then, you know, that's the channel that they're going to use, even though we want them to go to brand.com. So how are we leveraging our imagery, the accuracy of our amenities, you know, communication with pre-stay emails, all of that really matters. So that, because people are going to cross-check. I think the newest stats shows, you know, people are checking 23 different sites before they actually book. So we want to make sure that we're telling the same story on those OTAs, but still keeping the best story on our brand sites. So we're working with revenue management just to, you know, if the parking fees change or, you know, okay, we've changed the hours of operation for our restaurants, things like that, to make sure that we're still updated there. And even going back to the seasonality, the ongoing audits, you know, as we change seasonally, are we changing our profile picture? Are we, you know, if we're running the ads piece of it, making sure we understand what revenue management is doing, if they're running any promos or accelerators, and we're also running ads, we don't want to be paying Expedia like four different ways, right? So you want to make sure that you're on the same side in terms of what strategy, so that, okay, if you're getting really aggressive on accelerator, then I need to back off on travel ads, like that type thing as well. So
that makes sense. Something I'll ask you guys, just because it popped in my head, and you know I do this sometimes, just an idea comes to me. So you mentioned price parity, Connor, which has obviously been something that's been discussed for ages. I was having a conversation a couple of months ago, and someone said to me, yeah, but the issue now is not price parity when dealing with OTAs, it's package parity. And actually, they're maintaining the price parity bit, but they're actually undercutting by throwing in other bits around package. And the, so I don't know, kind of going a bit off script here. So it may not be something you necessarily want to comment on this.
You're going to get me in trouble, Trevor. Yeah, you're doing it. Every time I'm here with you and Stephanie, then I'm just, you target right in my back. And I'm just waiting for one person from one of the brands to hop on and listen to this thing, and then they're just going to target my company.
Commentary around package parity, general views on it, maybe, if there are any.
Yeah, there's general agreements the brands have with OTAs to remain in parity. So the OTAs can't be selling a different rate than brand.com, vice versa. Okay. There are lots of ways around it. And some of those include adding additional things, right? With OTAs, Expedia, for instance, you can offer a discount if they bundle with auto and flights, right? That's a package that you can set up through there. And that wouldn't show parity because it's not the same deal as brand.com, because we don't offer those additional packages.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of ways you can do that and leverage that on your hotel's behalf to actually give a little bit of a discount through an OTA channel to get additional bookings. I will not go into detail.
No, obviously.
But there are ways also to not get caught with brand parity issues, even if you are out of parity and offering a discount in other channels. There are plenty of ways to do that. I'm not recommending you do it. I certainly wouldn't recommend going against what the brand contracts say. I'm just saying there's a lot of ways you can do it and not get in trouble for it.
Quick comment? Yeah, go on.
Well, I'm just curious. Like a lot of our hotels, we don't participate in package path. I think it's very market specific whether package path even performs. I mean, would you agree with that? You really have to understand.
Absolutely.
Do a market assessment and see, you know, if that's a play that's even going to yield any results.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are a drive-through town, you're not nowhere near a leisure market or an airport, then there's a good chance that you don't get any kind of demand for packages or bundled discounts. It is market specific, and you can talk with your OTA managers to find out if this is a good market for that or not without even having to do the let's test it idea. You can just talk to them about it.
Yeah, and I know Expedia Partner Central does have in there, there's a section in there where you can see what the comp set gets in terms of package share and things like that. So if you don't believe what your market manager says.
Yeah, I think it was just quite interesting that, you know, as a consumer, you know, when you go to one of the OTAs and they're bundling bits together, and then you go and look, because obviously, you know, I want to support the hotel, so you look to go direct. And then suddenly you go there, and when you add everything up, and I'm obviously talking from a leisure point of view here, that actually the deal on the OTA, even though the price is the same, the actual deal on the OTA with the whole bundle and package is better than I can get from the hotel direct. And I think that's where there's just a kind of a sense that there was a lot of work done on price parity, but then they're just now looking at packaging it to still draw them in.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, branded hotels during this entire pandemic have thrown the baby out with the bathwater and given a lot more power to OTAs by doing things like opening up and breakfast is included on an OTA website as part of a package, for instance. And that's happened a lot. And that's just one, probably a prominent example of these packages you can set up on OTAs. And now again, Expedia, we keep talking about Expedia. That's foremost, you know, that's 75-80% of the business is coming through there. And so we work through them mostly, right? I would just say that during this pandemic, we've seen the amount of bookings coming through OTAs, in particular Expedia, just skyrocket. Right. And so if you're in a hotel right now that's having difficulty capturing fair share and you need more heads and beds, it's a channel that you really want to work with. It's your best friend right now. But as we get back to high demand, you're going to remember that best friend's got their hand out and there's a big commission attached to it. And so it's dangerous.
So is that where it comes back to what you were talking about a moment, Stephanie, about having that message, that kind of common message, but making sure that the message is better on brand.com than it is on the OTAs. But that message probably, and you've spoken before about being nimble and adjusting and being realistic, you know, if the message has to be slightly different on the OTAs because they can drive a lot to you, do you have to just pivot into that for the moment and then be ready to start to move back out as it changes?
Yeah, I think it's about being ready. And I think while Expedia is a big player, Booking.com, I feel like, performs really well, again, specific markets, sometimes more than Expedia in some markets. And the way that the brands are set up, especially from an image and asset management standpoint, a lot of the brands don't have direct connectivity with Booking in terms of pushing out imagery. So we very frequently find a very different story, like image story, on Booking than we do Expedia, just because of how the feeds work. And a lot of times we go in there and find that they don't match up the room type images correct. So you've got your suite images with your standards, and you know that's always kind of a mess. So again, you got to be ready. So when you do want to pull that lever or turn it on, that you've got all your ducks in a row, because you don't want to spend money or you know give the OTAs more money if they're not ready to convert, if you're not set up for conversion.
No, that makes sense. Okay. The final point that we've got here, point four, understanding demand that exists in the market. Now, Connor, you and I did a video recently where you shared your views about
accurate views
about revenue managers don't create demand. So I don't want to segue down to that, but obviously we'll make sure the links are there for people that want to go back and look at that. But maybe, I don't know how much that leans into this or drive some of this thought. But I guess there is also a question. I mean, I was having another discussion recently with people when they were talking about forward-looking data. And, you know, there is value to that, and we understand the value to that. But their point was, well, is that new demand? You know, that's demand that's obviously coming in, you're not generating. If there are 1,000 people coming into a city, you're not necessarily going out and generating more demand. You're looking at, and I think this is to your point, you're understanding the demand and then what you're doing with it. So how does that work between marketing and revenue? Because to me, that is crucial. You know, as people start to return, You cannot make more people come to you than are going to be coming into your city for whatever reason that may be. But You can be strategic and tactical about how much of that share you are grabbing from your competitors. And I think that's where I would be focusing.
That's right. You know who can create demand? The event center down the road, if they book Elton John, They can create it. And that's going to bring it to your market.
Not Adele, because she will cancel.
Adele will cancel, but if she does show up, then you're going to get everybody from all the other states as well. And so they can create demand, and we can capitalize on it by having a really good connection with them and knowing in advance when that's going to go on, when the announcement's going to be made, and then setting it up accordingly. I would just say as a baseline, so what we're talking about is understanding the demand that already exists.
It
really is, because you're not going to bring somebody else into your market because of your advertising or marketing or your rate. So as a baseline, we're going to find that demand and we're going to grab as much of it as possible. If we're talking about forward-looking data, I think it's crucial. I think that's probably the most important data that you can have. We keep focusing on star reports on revenue management, but it's like, that's what happened last week. Is next week going to look the same? Is in a month from now, is it going to look the same? Why do we keep focusing on it? It's just, in a lot of ways, it's a time waster. It's as if you were going to go fishing and you take your boat out there. The forward-looking data is like having a fish finder, The sonar that you're going to have on the bottom of your boat, and it's going to help you find what's already there. Yeah. And now I can go after that. There's a school over here. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
That's how I would consider like forward-looking data and how we can really understand it, which segment it books into, and then be able to target it with marketing's help.
And how, from a revenue point of view, do you take that understanding demand and actually do something with it that then you can work with marketing?
That's the difference between a good revenue manager and a not good revenue manager.
Okay, well, I consider you being here, you're a good one. So what are you doing?
I would just say those that are looking for it and then actioning it will know that marketing plays a crucial role in that, and they'll definitely get them involved in it.
So how does that cut across then into the marketing, Stephanie?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think if the pandemic proved anything, we couldn't make people travel if they didn't want to, right? Mm-hmm. So, but it happens a lot when we're talking, you know, with a potential new client and they're like, you know, I'm underperforming. And I'm saying, well, are you underperforming against your own budget, or are you underperforming against a comp set? Is a comp set getting more, you know, share of the demand that's coming in the market than you are? And I think that's a crucial conversation to have, because I can do a lot of the right things in marketing and Connor can do a lot of right things in revenue management. But, you know, if the entire market is suppressed and the entire market is underperforming, you know, you can only do marginally better. It's not like you're going to be able to get, you know, whatever, 110% on rev par if you, you know, if everyone, you can't help me fill in the words.
You know what you're trying to say. Even if you're doing the best possible, it's not saying that you're going to scoop up twice your fair share because you've got things better aligned, right?
Yeah. So it's more about understanding what's in the market. I think the only other scenarios where you could potentially create demand, I mean, Connor gave one good example, but if you're, you know, a convention hotel, you can potentially, you know, bring in a smaller convention to your tier two, tier three city or something like that, that used to be in a different city. And, or if you are a resort, you know, you might be able to bring demand to your hotel, but again, it still has to be existing demand. It may not necessarily be in your market, but if you're targeting families or couples that would normally go to XYZ resort, maybe you can get them to come to yours, maybe a different market, but again, it's still based on existing demand. Okay. So it's kind of a, but I guess that goes back to understanding your target market and your segment. So a lot of people love, you know, to your point, kind of that specific star that's very market specific, but how many times do we need to have a star report that includes locations that are outside of your, you know, given market to have a realistic picture of what that true baseline comp set is?
That makes sense. Yeah. Where does sales fit in this marriage? Or maybe not, maybe in like, the demand piece.
Sales is like the sister to the bride.
Right.
And she plays a crucial role, mm-hmm. but she's not getting married anytime soon, right?
Well, I look, you know, like during the pandemic when, you know, all the sales teams were laid off and, you know, I was like, as in marketing, most hotels, you know, can't fill up with transient 100% of the time. Like you have to have sales to have that borderline base business. So revenue management can push higher rates to the transient, and so marketing can help fill those gaps. But I just don't think it's realistic in most hotels. I mean, maybe you can on weekends fill up with just transient. And maybe you can do that with just, you know, marketing and transient, but I feel like you really need sales efforts on, you know, that weekday base, especially.
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial. Highlight that enough, right? Sales plays a critical role in filling up that base business piece. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they'll fill it up the remainder as well, right? If you can get the prices right. And so it's very crucial that sales and revenue management are working hand in hand. And that obviously from a marketing standpoint, that it's the strategy, sales strategy, whether it's focused around weddings, as we talked about earlier, or whatever it may be, is also highlighted digitally in the right way.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Perfect. Well, look, that's covered the four areas, but I just wanted to ask one quick question just out of something I was watching earlier today. Have you seen examples of where, to get a better understanding, to help marriage, you know, we have to understand our partner a bit better? Helps keep the relationship smooth. Have you seen examples of where someone from the revenue management team would actually go into the marketing department for say a week or so and do the role of someone in the digital marketing team to understand and vice versa? So someone from digital marketing would go and do the RM role. Have you seen examples of that at all?
I have not, but I think it's a great idea. I think I have not seen it because revenue management departments often have an e-commerce team or a marketing team that works separate, and that's the silo mm-hmm. issue. Mm-hmm. And then in situations like Stephanie's company and mine, we work remote. And so you'd really have to get intentional about scheduling that time. But I think it's a fantastic idea. I really, really do, because then you can understand what needs to be communicated, what doesn't need to be communicated, and really where that you can help each other out. I think it's great.
I feel like it's two different skill sets too. Like a revenue manager has one skill set, a marketing person has different. And not to mention, as we talked about in prior calls, like the systems component. You know, it takes, if I'm hiring somebody brand new that maybe understands digital or even understands hotels but doesn't understand the systems component, I mean, they're 3 months before they're able to be able to navigate seamlessly between the different systems and be able to pull the right levers and understand how to maximize those channels. So it's a great idea, but it's certainly harder. And I think where revenue management and marketing need to focus in is more on the planning piece of it, you know, and the communication piece. Connor and I are both married, so it's all about the communication, right? To have a successful marriage, you have to be good communicators.
Very good point.
So I think that's the first place to always start. A lot of times I'll talk to my revenue managers outside of my GM and DOS, and like, hey, let's you and me go on the same page and go and have this unified front, you know, when we talk with the owner or the GM or whatever, so that we can say the same thing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You made some good points in there, and I think it's why I'm not going to say too much, because I put an invitation out to get this individual on as a guest to actually talk through the process, because they actually did this with sales as well. So they got the revenue manager would go out with the sales. And the revenue manager had to justify to a client the pricing. and they actually then as well got the GM to spend time in revenue and marketing. And what was really interesting, and to your point about, yeah, obviously you have to work out how it's going to happen, because you're right, there does need to be training. But what it was that walking in someone else's shoes, you know, living my life. And what they noticed, to your point, Stephanie, was just the level of communication just totally changed. Because suddenly there was an understanding that when someone was saying this wasn't possible, it wasn't just somebody being intransigent or, oh, that's marketing or that's revenue or that's sales. It was, okay, now I understand where you're coming from, because otherwise you never have time to explain it, or people just think you're being difficult. So it was, it was quite interesting listening to it.
That's really interesting. I don't need to experience that. Thanks. And what I generally do is I just regularly tell the GMs and the DOSs, hey, you throw me under the bus as much as you possibly want. You put all of the blame on me. Yeah. I'm over here in Idaho just hanging out.
Like, blame the third party.
I'll never be in front of the guest. But don't go outside of what I just told you to price. All right. Stick to it.
Brilliant. No. Brilliant. Look, thanks as always, guys. Always fun when we sit and chat with you guys. So thanks for joining us. Thanks for your insights. Hopefully, some people can see how the marriage can work really well together, as long as you communicate, obviously.
That's right.
thanks, guys.
All right, you take care.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Stephanie and Connor for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. We value your input. And we're happy to follow up with our guests. Also, if there are any topics that particularly interest you, or if there are any specific guests you would like to hear from, please do let us know. You can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. That's insights@revenue-hub.com. And if you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. If you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. And if you do watch it on YouTube, it would be great if you could give it a thumbs up or even subscribe to the channel, as it really helps us out. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.